from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the WEEI Studios, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey Sports Station. Patriots Friday on WEEI is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market and by FindMassMoney.gov.
I wonder if they watch that game, they being the Patriots coaching staff, and say to themselves, maybe he's better than we thought right now. And maybe we should be giving him more reps with the first team offensive line to see how good he can be in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. It doesn't mean you have to fast track them to start week one of the regular season, but if they have it in their minds, it might take until week 10. And the reality is it might only take till week 4. Shouldn't you give yourself the best opportunity to find that out?
Yes, Phil Perry. Yes, you should. I think. I agree. I'm with Phil. It's Christian Arcan here. Jones and Mego. No Jones. He's out on Monday too, right?
No, I Jones believe on Monday. So. He's taking a long weekend.
Big long weekend for Jones.
We'll have Jacoby Brissett, though.
We will. We'll get to talk to him on Monday.
And unless something drastically changes in the next couple days, and we have Drake May.
Yeah.
Oh, baby!
I guess that's possible. I think if that's who they have us talking to on Monday, that's probably set in stone.
Again, another reason why I don't think there's a true competition. If there was a true competition, we'd have Jacoby Brissett in one day, and then the next week we'd have Drake May, and then we have Jacoby Brissett.
Well, I'd say that next week. Right? Like, the week before the actual opener, not the week before preseason week 3. You know what I mean? Like, I think there's a difference there. Like, third game, I don't think we're going to see much of Brissett at all. So, him talking to us, I don't think is indicative of what's going to happen in that game. I think that they're sort of still signaling to us anyway that even though May clearly outplayed him last night, they still have Brissett on the inside track. I think that's sort of what that means to me right
now. That's what I'm saying, and that's why I don't think there's a true competition for week one.
Okay, but having an inside track is different from having the job locked up and there's no competition, right? Like, if it's an inside track, you're still racing, you know? Like, the race isn't over yet. So, we'll see. I mean, we'll see if that means anything or if it doesn't, but I think ultimately...
Yeah, but one guy's racing, like, with a parachute on his back, and he's got resistance, and that's Drake May.
It is. It's true. He's got, like, those moon shoes, you know?
He's
like,
got drag.
Yeah. And he's behind the eight ball here in this competition. We knew that. We
a
knew
lot
that he
of
would be.
Analogies happening now.
There really are. And that's understandable. We've all been sort of conditioned for this. We all understand that this is the way it's going to start off, and that Drake May is going to have to play not just better than Brissett, but head and shoulders better, like undeniably better. You can't justify putting this guy in over this guy. And I think that you saw at the very least the beginning of that, and something you can build off of from that last night. he wasn't perfect last night. No matter what, you know, as much as we're going on and on about Drake May and how encouraged we are by it, me in particular, because I've been the one that sort of was against this all from the beginning.
Yeah, you hated him.
I'm encouraged by
and
what I saw last night.
I think he hates you, too.
I don't think he hates me.
He didn't say your name.
He didn't, but I don't think he knew that I was there. I think he said, you know, you see Jones and Mego.
What's going on, Adam? What's going on, man? Y'all doing all right?
Hey, Drake. Yeah, see, he wasn't aware that there was
there
a third person.
There is toxicity there.
Not on my part. I was a little hurt, but I didn't find it toxic. And he answered quite. I asked him if he wanted to start, and he said, "Yeah." He talked about it, and we had a good back and forth. I thought, but either way, our bromance aside, I think that if you're talking about what he needs to do in order to get there, that was 100% a step in the right direction. And this whole conversation would be over right now if Brissett played better than him last night. We wouldn't be having this tie. It'd be over. It'd be a foregone conclusion. Aside from an injury, I wouldn't be thinking there's anything that May could do at this point to get back in the driver's seat here of this race or this competition or whatever analogy we decided to land
moon
on
shoes.
There.
We
the moon shoes,
moon
yes.
Shoes.
That would be it, right?
A
if
space
Brissett,
race.
Brissett went out there and threw for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns, and May had an interception and was, you know, 3 for 7 or whatever it was that Brissett did, and, you know, that through 2 quarters, then we wouldn't be talking about this. We'd be saying, yeah, okay, everyone was right. Mayo's right. Van Pelt's right. But the way they've been doing this is exactly right. He's not ready, and Brissett's the better option. No one's saying that today.
You know what else would change it? If Javon Baker had caught that bomb.
Yeah.
Then I think everybody would be sitting here going, holy crap, I don't care if it's the 2s or the 3s on the other side. Why have you been keeping this kid out? Like, why isn't he taking every snap at camp? This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I ask you, do you feel differently about his night if once they're down in the red zone, instead of a rushing touchdown, he had thrown a touchdown?
Yes. I think if he had thrown a touchdown, I'd think of it differently. I still am happy that he made the play and was able to get in there and saw the lane and took it and all that. It was a pretty easy, you know, run into the end zone. It's not like he had to break a tackle or do a spin move or anything. Like, it was, bam, 4 yards and you're in, or whatever it was. I think that if he had thrown a touchdown pass, yeah, there's something different there. You know, like, we're expecting him to throw more touchdown passes than he rushes for this year, right? If he plays enough.
I don't know.
I think I am.
I mean, hopefully, but
if he
only
plays like 3 games, then who knows?
I'm taking touchdowns where you can get them. I'm not going to be precious about it. And
the touchdowns are everywhere.
One of the reports on him in the last couple weeks has been that he, with those keeper plays, he does have a talent for that, to the point that maybe he's dependent on them too much in his development so far. And so that's more of like a comfort zone type thing for him. But it was nice to see it in action after you hear that he can do it.
Yeah. If you're Robert Kraft, you watched that game last night, and you know what the plan is.
I'm Robert Kraft.
You're Robert Kraft.
Getting into character.
It's a pretty obvious choice. If one of us was going to play him, it would have to be you.
Yeah. We have the same build.
Same outlook. Same wallet.
We're both married to younger people.
That's true. You guys are a lot alike in a lot of ways. Either way, you're Robert Kraft. You watched that last night. You understand that this is a new coaching staff that has the way they want to do things. And, you know, they're against the idea of rushing Drake May along. But you watched him play last night as the owner of the team. Do you continue to defer to the judgment of all these first-timers over you, the owner, who knows what the value of a quarterback that can bring people out to the stadium is?
For now, I am, but I'm also reminding them of how empty that stadium looked to me and how excited people got when Drake May was in the game and when Drake May was connecting and when Drake May was making plays, the only little bit that he was in there. But I think that it comes down to me, is everybody on the same page about what the goal of the season is? Because it doesn't seem like the goal of this season is to make the playoffs.
Right.
And I know that Kraft will say that kind of sometimes, like, oh, I hope we can get back to winning and making the playoffs. And he's not really putting the pressure on Jerod Mayo because he's a first-time head coach and the roster is what it is. But if that's not the goal of the season, then what is the season about? And to me, it's about getting the young offensive players in a direction where there's hope for the franchise and you're building momentum and you at least are in a place where you know what to add. You're not just building from completely the ground up.
Yeah, 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go up to the great state of Maine and talk to Jason. Hi, Jason.
Hey, guys. How are we doing?
Good, Jason. How are you?
Good. So one of my biggest issues I'm having with everything and reading everything is everyone's talking about the future. Does anyone not realize the future's been happening for the last 5 years since Brady walked out the door? Okay? It's not going to change in a year. So throw the kid to the wolves, let him do his thing, and what's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to break Peyton Manning's interception record on the season? I mean, this is ridiculous. Not only that, you've got 3 years to decide whether or not you want to pay this kid $250 million to $300 million. So the point of sitting him for a year makes absolutely zero sense, because then you're just judging anything off 2 years, and it's absolutely ridiculous. And just watching last night, the stats weren't overwhelming, but the way he commanded the huddles, the way he commanded the offense, the way he ran the offense, the way he avoided trouble, showed me he's ready to be the starter.
All right. Thanks for the call, Jason.
You know what? I like that from Jason.
Good call.
Why are we being so freaking serious about the season? I mean, look, I understand, like, there's a lot of money involved in this, and there's people's jobs involved, and it's people for the first time doing these jobs. But at the same time, like, it's not brain surgery. You're not sending people up in a rocket ship. Like, what is the worst that could happen?
Well,
I'm not talking about injuries.
I'll tell you the worst that could happen is you go out there, you get them killed, and all of a sudden you got to go back into the draft.
I'm saying, like, football-wise, really. What is the worst that could happen? Do you think that him playing, like, that? To me,
the worst that could happen is that
his development really just gets arrested. That it just, he goes to his worst habits, and he never becomes a quarterback of the caliber of what he could be, because he's just stuck as who he is and he doesn't get to develop in the games.
Yeah.
And if he does that, then maybe you can say that's on the coaching staff. But I also think that most guys who end up being really good are able to grow through whatever pains they are of being in a real game.
Yeah, I think that's, I don't know if that's the worst case scenario, barring an injury, is that he goes out there and he's just so bad. He's Josh Rosen, you know, he just can't do anything. He can't put one foot in front of the other, and his confidence gets completely shot to hell. And by the time you're, you know, to week 12 or 13, whatever it is, he's Mac Jones year three, and he can't, you know, he can't hit a guy in the end zone from 10 feet away. You know, full yips Mac Jones is what we're talking about here.
Whoa.
That to me is worst case scenario.
You're bringing
scenario.
Up your dark past.
I am. But I think that's it. I mean, that, you know, it's one thing to get sort of stuck and not be able to progress. It's another thing to go out there, completely blow it, tank your confidence, tank everything, and have it all sort of fall down on top of you and collapse inward. I think that's the worst case scenario if we're discussing what that could be. I mean, listen, I think that the good outweighs the bad in terms of what you're willing to risk with a third overall pick. I mean, you have to, at some point, pull the ripcord. I don't know if they're ready to do it yet, or if they just are so married to the idea of doing it the Elliott Wolf Green Bay way that they can't envision actually putting him out there. But, you know, there's drawbacks to it. I mean, obviously, I can see what they're scared of. It's a scary thing out there, and they just had a really bad situation with their last rookie quarterback and the way that progressed. You know, they ruined that guy, and I don't think they want to ruin anybody else. They're going to do everything they can to make sure they don't ruin Drake May. If he can't play, he can't play, but they don't want to play a hand in it and have that happen two times in a row.
It makes me wonder, you know, where the 49ers would be if they hadn't lucked into or developed Purdy the way that they were able to, because a good comp would be Trey Lance, who I think was more raw coming out of college than even Drake May was. But it was like this promise of, well, once Trey Lance develops behind the scenes and once Trey Lance is healthy, and that dream just never came true for anybody over there. And to me, that's another side of, like, well, that's the worst case scenario that you could be in. You had this super high pick overall.
That you traded all these picks to get to.
That you traded for, and you squirreled away. And you weren't in that position, but you squirreled him away and you hid him away and you wanted to be ultra careful with him. And in the end, it didn't even matter. And you ended up with Mr. Irrelevant and you got lucky there, or what, or you developed that. But it's just another perspective. Like, there's a lot of wrong ways that this could go. And it's, I guess I'm just getting a little bit impatient, because it's true. We have been kind of stuck in this neutral position since Brady left.
Yeah. Trey Lance has been in the league 3 years, and he's thrown 102 passes. I mean, like, I'd say that's pretty much, you know, he's been injured a lot. We were saying, other than injuries, what would be the worst case scenario? I mean, injuries played a big role in that. But when he played, he wasn't exactly out there lighting it up.
Part of their development plan was to be a super slow-rolling process, kind of like what you think they're trying to do with Drake May.
Yeah, he wasn't going to beat out Brock Purdy, even if he was perfectly healthy. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. We'll continue with your phone calls right after we hear from Ryan Garvin. What's trending?
Adam Jones.
Oh, I'm sorry. You like Crazy Town?
I think Crazy Town for sure.
Megan Ottolini.
I love fire.
Christian Arcand.
I love shrooms.
This is Jones and Mega with Arcand.
Let me upgrade you.
On WEEI.
Drake, it looked like they were putting you in concepts that maybe you used in college. There was a lot of shotgun, empty, zone read stuff. How much did that help you get comfortable? And did you discuss that with AVP in terms of concepts that you're familiar with and comfortable with?
Yeah, I think that's the great thing about this offense with what AVP does. We do a lot of different things. We can spread it out and empty. We can get 12 personnel, 13 personnel on the football. So we do a lot of different things. We got keepers. We got kind of the whole nine yards. So I think a lot of the stuff that kind of translates from college, other than getting in the huddle and using a cadence, it all translates. So I think that's a good point. And also we go through kind of a list of plays we like before we're going out there. We're not just going out there just kind of not knowing what's going on. So we got a little bit of idea of, hey, it's third medium. I think this call is coming. This is what I told him I liked. So he does a great job of kind of understanding our feedback from all four of us and just kind of calling what we like. So that's an awesome kind of way for us to connect.
Drake May after the game.
Just a good old boy.
Good old boy.
Never meaning no harm.
Nope, no he doesn't. after the game, hearing him talk about the offensive coordinator in that way was a big difference between how you heard Mac Jones talk about any coach he ever had. He was always, oh, I can't wait to learn from this guy. I can't wait to learn from that guy. I want to learn from this guy, blah, 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 blah. Then later on, he was like, yeah, me and Bill O'Brien, we're going to teach each other things, but I want to learn from him. I'm going to learn from Bill. I'm going to learn from this. I'm going to learn from that. Drake May, that's not what he was saying there. I mean, I'm sure he's learning from Alex Van Pelt. He has to be. It's his first offensive coordinator in the NFL. But what he was emphasizing there and what he was really sort of getting to the, getting to the point of his comments was, this guy will adjust to us.
This is what I told him I liked.
This is what I like. This is what I'm good at. This is how I'm adapting better. And maybe with McDaniels, that was more the case with Mac Jones. I think later on, we certainly saw things completely fall apart that next year. But even with McDaniels is a hard ass. It's not like he's someone. You remember how he was in Vegas? He wasn't out there like trying to.
Yeah, he's a tough personality for some players.
He wasn't trying to like read the room and give the players what they need. Like he didn't want them. In Vegas, he didn't want them playing basketball in the locker room. Remember that? After he got fired, they're like, yeah, bring out the basketball hoop. Woo! It's like, oh, okay. It was like that, I guess.
Mean stepdad's gone.
They hated him as a head coach. Maybe as an offensive coordinator, he had a different tone and tenor with people, but as a head coach, they reviled in Vegas. They couldn't get rid of him fast enough. And, that I think is indicative to me of more of a regime change and more of what we're seeing now as opposed to what things were like back in the old time, back in the old days, where you didn't question the coaches. And if you did, you were getting your ass shipped out of town. Like, this is now more of a situation where Drake May, a rookie, can go up to the offensive coordinator and say, hey, I don't feel comfortable running this. I'm more, and then this is more my speed. What do you think about calling some more of those plays? And Alex Van Pelt saying, okay, whatever you need, Drake, we're here to try and make you better. We're here to try and elevate you and pump you up. This is about you and not necessarily about us. I think that there's something to that.
So you're saying Alex Van Pelt is a player's coach?
Absolutely. Gerard Mayo is too. And that doesn't always work. Obviously, there's been a lot of Pete Carroll. We've had him here. There's been players, coaches that just get way too deferential, and it doesn't work out that way. And it ends up being, the inmates running the asylum. But I don't think that's necessarily what's happening here yet.
You have to have the right chemistry with the team.
Right.
And that's what it at least very preliminarily sounds like is working between Drake May and Alex Van Pelt, at least when you hear Drake May's side of it. He likes being able to have, we can do all these different things, but I'm also comfortable enough as the de facto backup right now that when I get out there, I can tell Van Pelt, this is what I like and this is what I'm not comfortable with, as you said, or like, this is what I feel like really comfortable with the guys who are out there. And I also think that to your point, Arcand, it does speak volumes that when he's out there, he's targeting Javon Baker and he's targeting Polk, JP as he calls him, because those guys are spending time together after practice trying to get that chemistry down. And so I think it's like, there's not this force to a certain target or certain way of doing things. It feels a little looser. And I think that maybe if that's the personality of this offense, that will work in their favor. Like, I know people want it to be almost, military-like precision, because that's how it was with Bill for a long time. But I don't know that that's the way it works with the league everywhere. At a very high end, you watch like Patrick Mahomes in that dumb quarterback Netflix show.
Right.
And he's like doing something to a much higher level where he's sitting there basically drawing up plays and goofy trick plays that he wants to try. And it's like, yeah, sure, go ahead. You're Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. No problem there. We understand that, and I'm sure Andy Reid's all into it, too. I didn't actually watch that show, but I imagine that was something everybody was okay with.
Andy Reid's like, okay, if you guys want to try this, let's try this. Now, they're at a very different end of the spectrum where it's, okay, Super Bowl champs multiple times over, and they've got that going for them. You're nowhere near that. But I do think that there's a little bit of that culture in the league, and it's not, like, necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think that, you know, part of what wasn't working with Bill Belichick anymore had to do with some of the guys underneath him and some of the people who had gone off and tried to be head coaches and failed and had to come back to New England and be, you know, assistants or whatever, but still carried that Belichickian way of doing things. That's why he wanted all those guys back. That's why Patricia came back. That's why McDaniels came back. They all knew exactly how to what he wanted.
Yeah, I think Matty's done a great job. He's one of the most brilliant people I've ever been around in terms of football knowledge. So
is that so? Is that right? Really? You know, Matt Patricia had never coached offense before, and he wasn't doing what Van Pelt is doing here and trying to work with the guy and give him what he wants. He said, no. Bill Belichick told me I'm in charge of the offense, so I'm going to run it like he runs everything, and you can't question me, and you can't do anything, and if you get it wrong or you say something, I'm going to retaliate against you. Like, that was sort of the fear a lot of people had about speaking up, about, you know, being themselves even in post-game interviews. You saw Kendrick Bourne and Mac Jones speaking out, popping off after the game, and they got punished for it.
How about Jacoby Myers?
Myers, too. Myers was escorted to the door. You know, that was not something that was tolerated previously. And I think that when you hear Gerard Mayo say things like, yeah, I want people to express themselves, they're going to come out here and say, I hate Coach Mayo, whatever. Like, it's not. Again, I hope it doesn't come to that.
That's going to be a weird press conference when that happens.
It will be, I think. But I also think, like, it doesn't have to come to that in order for it to be much, much different than it was under Bill Belichick. And not just Belichick, but his underlings who all tried to do what he did as head coaches and just couldn't do it. It didn't work. It didn't stick. And they all came back and did what they did and then got put in positions that even didn't work for them. So, you know, that was a pretty quick summation of the last couple of years here in New England under Belichick. 617-779-7937. Let's go to our favorite former inmate, AJ in Dover, who joins the show right now. Hi, AJ.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, man?
Not too much. So I had a thought that this whole Brissett versus May starting is like, I'm just wondering what kind of assurances the front office and Mayo have as to what kind of a season they produce, like the security of their jobs, because
it's a good question.
They say that there's money and there's jobs involved and all that, but I just have a feeling that like they know, like to a certain extent, that they're set and the fact that they just want to develop and set the coach in the roster, and they probably won't have to worry if they do go through a rookie quarterback struggling. So I'd rather see the kid going.
Yeah, AJ, you might be onto something there. They're definitely behaving as though they know whatever happens this year, we're going to get another shot at it next year, even if it's really bad, even if it's as bad as it can get. And I believe that. I think Jones disagrees. I think if they go 0-17 this year, Mayo's coming back, Van Pelt will be back, Wolf will be back, they'll all be back, and they'll get another shot at it. And if they go 0-17 a second year, they'll all get fired. But I think even if things are as bad as they could possibly be this year, they're operating and sort of have the disposition of a group of coaches that have been given the assurance of some level by ownership that this year isn't going to make or break their careers.
I don't know if it's the same case for both the front office and the coaching staff. Like, Alex Van Pelt, I have no idea what his contract is or what terms he was brought in under. Gerard Mayo, I'd say, like, I think you're crazy if you think he's only going to get one season here. Now, he might be out midway in his second season, but do you know what a terrible look that is if you fire Gerard Mayo after one season, especially after Robert Kraft got up there in the introductory press conference and basically told a love story? A love story compared Gerard Mayo to how he felt when he met each of his wives. Like, it's that's It's aggressive.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That was, yeah.
So I think if you think that there, unless something.
That was one of those moments saying, where everyone was like what?
Yeah. Barring something horrible happening, you know, we're talking about if he goes 0-17,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that's going to get Jerod Mayo fired. It would have to be something. And
it would have to be a mutiny like they had with McDaniels.
Or it would have to be something horrible that happens off the field.
Something totally
un-football related.
Yeah. I think that there could be a football thing, too, though. I think that if it's so bad that the team is basically just refusing to play and they hate him so much that they can't bear it anymore, and that they get the ear of Kraft somehow and say, hey, this guy, it's just not working with this guy.
Has anything suggested to you that Jerod Mayo is that kind of guy with his players?
Not at all.
Exactly.
So I don't think that's the case, but I think that's football-wise, that's the only way. Like, they have to be really bad. And there has to be a full-on mutiny in the locker room. And I don't think that we're there. I don't think that's anywhere close to that. There's no way they're going to go there because all these guys just got paid. What the hell are they going to get to a mutiny for? They all just got extensions on their contracts. They're going to be getting paid with guaranteed money here for the next couple of years. None of them are going to go up the back stairs and tell Robert Kraft, hey, I can't stand this Mayo guy. I hate it here. They're all happy. They're all happy as hell. They just got paid, except Matt Judon. That's the only one. Everybody else, I'd say, is in pretty good shape. Let's go to the phones again. Jamal is in the car. Hi, Jamal.
Guys, happy Friday.
What's up?
Happy Friday.
It's crazy the things you think about when you're sitting on hold, but Drake May, I totally lost my train of thought. Drake May is, the best thing that happened to us as Patriots fans last night is last night's game and Drake May showing that he's actually mentally tougher and is not going to be a mental wimp like Mac Jones was. There's no way he can go home and fail as a quarterback with his two brothers willing to bust his chops if he doesn't do well.
I guess that's possible.
I don't think he's had to prove that he's mentally tough yet.
What about, like, all the Gronkowskis who sucked, though? Like, they all had to go home, and, you know, who was the one who was, like, the fullback on the Broncos who, like, couldn't get another contract? Like, he'd go out there and play a couple snaps, and then he'd go home. Okay, his brothers would be there and be like, you kind of suck today, buddy. Like,
none of the other May boys are playing in the NFL right now, are they? He's the youngest.
No, that's true. He's the youngest. He's there. What are they going to do? Hey, you suck. Hey, I'm in the NFL and you guys aren't, so bleep off.
It's the reason that you end up as like a top quarterback. I'm just saying his personality seems different than what we had here before.
True.
And that's, I never had a problem with Mac. I thought he was very polite, nice guy. I think he didn't.
I thought Mac got a raw deal here.
Yeah,
I said that all along.
Of course he did. Of course he did. And I said that all along. And it was stupid, boneheaded decisions in his second year. And it just got messier and messier. He probably could have handled himself better on the other side. Ultimately, it just wasn't the right fit.
Yeah.
I think this could be a better fit in terms of the personality and the way that he carries himself, and certainly the way that he seems to be getting along with the coaching staff so
That's far. True. And that's the other thing is we don't know. Like, we had an idea of what kind of fit there would be with Bill Belichick because we had 20 years of Bill Belichick to know what would fit with him and what wouldn't.
You have to fit with Bill.
Right.
Was the sense.
We don't know what fits with Mayo and Van Pelt. We don't even know if these guys can do the job yet, like, let alone like
the
who's going to fit in
Van
with them.
Van Pelt is just he's the nicest guy in the world, honestly.
It's cool,
like,
dude.
I talk to people from Cleveland, and they're like, yeah, he's great. He's wonderful. Wonderful person. It's like, okay. So I don't really know what that means about you as a coach.
That's nice. Can he coach?
But at least you'll be easy to get along with.
Can he drop an offense? That's what I'd like to see. 617-779-7937. Let's go down to Scituate. I love Scituate this time of year. Bill is in Scituate. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Bill.
First time caller.
Bill,
how's it going?
It's going great. How's things going in Scituate?
Good, good, good. You guys know Jerome?
Jerome?
Yeah, he's Jerome from Scituate. He calls all the time.
Oh, sure. Yes, right. Of course. Okay. I hung out with him at TK O'Malley's once.
Ah, TK. My son-in-law works. He's the manager there.
I love that place. Anyway, what's on your mind, Bill?
Yeah. All this talk with Mac Jones and May is giving me flashbacks. This is going to give my age away, but years ago, I used to go to every single game.
Mm-hmm.
And the Patriots had a draft pick, number one, and they drafted a Heisman Trophy winner in 1971.
Uh-huh.
And he had a winning season the first year,
mm-hmm.
and then for the next 4 years, he got beat to a pulp.
Bill, I have a serious question for you.
Yeah.
Were you one of those guys that got handcuffed to the fence at Monday Night Football when they made all those arrests? Were you in that? Were you in that mob?
No, I wasn't in that.
Are you sure? Are you? I don't know, Bill. You sound like a wild guy to me. Because that was really the glory years of Patriots football, when Monday Night Football stopped coming to Gillette. It wasn't Gillette back. It was Sullivan Stadium. We said, we can't come here anymore because this mob is just too unruly. We can't show this on television.
That's what we're trending.
Bill and all his friends. Yes, that's what it was like in the 70s.
You proud of yourself, Bill?
That was bad. Those were incidents. But poor Plunkett, he just, I went down by the tunnel one game, and he was coming. His face was all bloody, and the defense was always in the backfield before him. So anyhow, he left. He has to be traded, and he went to San Francisco. He was still gun-shy.
Yep.
And
fast forward, he ended up winning a Super Bowl. Story. Thank you for the call.
Well,
we
here's the good news is you won't have to worry about having a winning season this year.
That's
with
true.
A rookie quarterback.
You won't have to.
Thank God for that.
Yes. It'll be not.
It'll be bad from the beginning, and all you'll have is hope.
You're still going to have a quarterback with a bloody face. I mean, that's going to be the
same. Yeah.
People will be handcuffing themselves to fences so they don't have to go to Patriots.
Will he be bleeding from the mouth? Yes.
You're getting kicked out on purpose. Get me out of here. Give me a free ride back to the back in the back of the
wagon. Threw that snowball 800 hands shooting to the air. No, it was me. Take me away, please.
I'll tell you what. You want to beat the traffic on Route 1, you get out of there in the wagon. That's a good way to do it.
Yeah, but you're not going home.
You're not sitting in traffic for a while. It may be, you know, six of one, half dozen of the other by the time you get home. We'll see. There was not a lot of people there last night, I can tell you that. And I know there was bad weather, and I know it was
64,000 paid attendance.
Paid attendance. I wonder how many people could not get rid of their tickets and desperately wanted to and desperately tried to.
63,000.
Yeah, something like that. It was sparse out there at Gillette last night. I'm not surprised.
Would you pay to go to a game this season? Like if one of your buddies comes to town and goes, I want to see, and you know that May's playing.
If I knew that May was playing, yes, I would.
Yes, so isn't that the whole thing?
Yeah.
Yes, if I knew May was playing.
In a real game, preseason game.
No,
I'm talking
about a real game.
Yeah, real game.
Let's
I think I would.
It's a crisp 64-degree day
with the average casual fan.
That I think if you find out, hey, May's playing and he looks kind of fun.
Mm. Week two, Seattle, 1:00.
Yeah, let's go see this kid.
Maybe
he can sling it.
I mean, maybe if tickets weren't so expensive.
Even investing in new jerseys.
I know.
Did you see that picture of him signing a Mac Jones jersey?
I did see that.
And
with
laughing?
With, like, tape over it, yeah.
He's laughing. He's like, they can't even invest in me at this point.
By the way, while we're on the subject of jerseys,
yeah,
the most common jersey I saw in the crowd last night, Matthew Judon.
Oh, Lord.
A lot of Judon jerseys.
Yeah, you wear it, then you trade it in, and you can go get something else.
Are they doing that? Are they doing, like, an Aaron Hernandez thing?
How could they not?
That was a little different, I guess, you know, like, with the Hernandez one.
Yeah, I think it's a little different, yeah.
It's a little bit different.
You know what?
Slightly different, yes.
He sat on a trash can. You should be able to get your money back.
I think so. I think that's an equal offense.
Can I get a coupon?
Yeah. By the way, have you seen the trailer for the Aaron Hernandez show?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I see. I get YouTube ads for it.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to watch the bleep out of that thing.
It looks so realistic.
I am going to watch every second of that thing. And I also said that about this show that it's on right now with the Clippers, the Donald Sterling show. And I've not watched it yet, but the clips I've seen of that look hilarious.
It wasn't good.
They look very
funny. I watched like the first 10 minutes of it, and I was like,
I'm not anticipating it's going to be good. It's going to be like the show True Blood. The show True Blood was not good.
Yeah, but that was all sex.
I watched every second of True Blood. I can tell you everything about every character. Yes, it was.
This is a football show.
I don't think Clippers show is a sex show.
No, but the Hernandez one. No, probably not that one either.
It's not going to be like Showtime.
Yeah.
That Showtime Lakers show that was like really sexy.
The
not in a hot way, just
that,
like graphic.
If you're into John C. Reilly, it was pretty hot.
No.
He was eating the lobster with the bib on and no shirt. Like that was... Come on now. Moved a little bit there.
Are we calling it a lobster?
Calling that too. 617-779-7937.
Coming up next.
There's your phone number. When we come back, it's a triple play on a Friday. We'll fill in some blanks. That's coming up right after these words.
It's going to be a triple play.
It's time for the triple play.
Yes! Triple play.
The
Top three burning questions of the day.
And there's three.
With Jones and Mago.
Triples is best. Triples is best.
Triple play brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. It's here. The prime rib dinner is back at the nines. That is 16 ounces of slow roasted USDA choice prime rib served with choice of two sides, available every Friday and Saturday after 4 p.m. and all day Sunday. You gotta love the nines. Arcand, Mego, it's Friday. And a shout out to the back in the Twitch studio, Brian, helping out with questions today. It's fill in blank Friday, which means we will start with
number one.
Number one, Arcand. Rich Hill, who now we know, according to our own Rob Bradford, is back with the Red Sox on a minor league deal. There is a chance that we could see him up with the Big Sox. So Rich Hill will play in blank games for the Red Sox this season, Christian Arcand.
Okay, so there's about, I don't know, seven or eight turns in the rotation left to go here, I think, based on how much time's left in the season, give or take, you know, yes, a starter or two. He's starting off in Worcester. I don't think he's going to be there very long. I think you'll probably see, if he's going to make it up here, be within the week or so. He's 44 years old. He's older than me. He's in Cooperstown, not because he's going to the Hall of Fame, but he was there because his son plays for the team in high school or something. And he was
just visiting.
He's just hanging out.
He's doing the snowbird thing.
Watching his son, which is great. You know, it's great to do stuff like that. Rich Hill, for the eighth time, signing a contract with the Red Sox, I think is going to make three starts. I think he's going to make three starts. And by the end of the third one, it's going to be like, okay, like, thanks, Rich. You really came through. We needed you there, buddy. See you later. And that's going to be that. I don't know if it's going to end with an injury or what. I mean, it's hard to imagine the guy that age pitching down the stretch in the middle of a race. It's a race here. I mean, we're talking about a team that is right there in that wild card. I mean, there's still time to climb back in. And these are going to be high leverage situations. So I'm going to say he makes three starts. Part of me hopes he makes more, and part of me hopes he doesn't make more. It's weird, but I think three is the number I'm going to land on.
I go.
That feels right. I was looking up, so last year around this time, maybe like 2 weeks before, he was traded from Pittsburgh to San Diego, and he had 10 games with San Diego. And if he's going to be in Worcester to start, I'll give him a little
bit
more.
Which is just like San Diego.
I'll give him a little more.
It's considered the San Diego of Massachusetts, I think.
That's true.
Yeah.
I think that's actually Scituate is considered the San Diego of Massachusetts.
That could be, yeah.
Or maybe Falmouth.
Falmouth, Nahant.
Yes.
It's a couple of them, yeah.
So I'm going to give him four. I'm going to give him one more than you. I don't know if he has four, if that means that something has gone drastically wrong for the Red Sox or something has gone very right for Rich Hill, but that... I can't believe that they're bringing him back again. I mean, what happened to the little project that they had out in Worcester? What was that kid's name? Priest?
Oh, Quinn Priester?
Oh, yeah, Priester. Yeah. I barely know her.
He can't come up at all. It's too early.
No, I guess they don't want to keep him up there. They want a 44-year-old pitcher,
yeah,
who, when he was in San Diego, I think did not register a fastball over 93 miles an hour, which is exactly what this team needs.
That's all right. They're going to throw off speed stuff.
Great.
Oh, he's throwing off speed stuff. You guarantee it.
Intentionally or not.
Number two, let's switch to a more positive subject here. Mego, Drake May, who played, I believe, four series last night, going forward into this preseason finale against, I believe, your Washington Commanders,
mm-hmm,
Drake May will play blank number of series in the Patriots' final preseason game, which I believe is a week from Sunday. Mego?
I think he's going to play four again. I wonder if he'll be moved up a little bit earlier in the game. Like, I wonder how many snaps they're going to give to Jacoby Brissett. Assuming that Jacoby Brissett is still the plan to be the starter in week one, which is something we've been debating all day and will continue to. But I bet that they give him four series to go through. It would be stupid to give him fewer. Even if you're feeling better about him going through the next couple weeks of practice or 10 days of practice or whatever they have until the next preseason game, like even if he's running with the ones, mm-hmm, and you're feeling really confident about him, I still don't understand why you did what you did in the first preseason game with only giving him one series when you could give him more experience in an unscripted setting.
Yeah.
And I think that that's important for a guy who you want to be able to balance playing, going through all his progressions and everything and the scripted plays, but also being able to do things on the run and be outside the pocket and have the little keeper play that you saw from him last night. Like, you need a mix of all that. And the best case to do it, since you don't have any joint practices left, is in that preseason game.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. I think it should be more like six. I'd rather you get like six series. I want him to play more than two quarters. I want to see a lot of Drake May in this last game. A couple of reasons. The main one being, I think as far as quarterback competition is concerned, like you just said, Mego, this is it. This is the only time you're really going to have that kind of visible, that the fans can sort of absorb and appreciate, you know, type of showcase for him. You're not going to see that in practice. You're not going to see it. It's not a joint practice either. And even if it was, you know, I still think that there's more to be gained from some of these games here. Even though we're talking about third, fourth stringers, guys who aren't going to play, we're talking about a rookie quarterback who only played 20-something games in college. So I think all of those reps matter, and I think that they should all be counted like that. I don't know if Gerard Mayo is going to see it that way. I think that, you know, he's probably going to look at it the way he looked at it with Bill Belichick for however many years, which is, all right, the third game doesn't matter, and we're just going to throw whatever quarterback we want out there. It's not going to really mean anything. The hay's in the barn already. Like, we know what's going to happen. It's not Belichick here anymore, and it's only three preseason games. Like,
and
I know
it's
that's
not
been,
Tom Brady, so right. You don't know what you're doing.
And it's been like that for a couple of years now, but it's sort of like a brave new world. Looking at it the same way as you looked at it when there were four preseason games is stupid. I mean, that's not a good way to go about it. Now you should really maximize the time that you have with your rookie quarterback and get him more experience, especially if now you're considering making him the starter. All right, let's get to number three.
Number three.
Amazon MGM Studios has announced that there will be a new biopic on the life of John Madden, and playing John Madden in this biopic will be Nicolas Cage. So, Arcand, I ask you, Nick Cage as John Madden in the new biopic will be blank.
Pretty great, I think, because everything Nicolas Cage does is pretty great. Whether he means it to be or not, I think that Nicolas Cage, his bad movies are even better than his good movies in some cases. There's this movie that he's in. I saw it recently. And I forget what it's called now, but in the movie, he plays a magician, and the magician can see 2 minutes into the future. And that's, like, his big power, is he can see what's going to happen in, like, 2 minutes. And in the movie, he, like, dates Jessica Biel, and he, like, gets out of, like, this very scary robbery situation. He's able to see that the robbers are coming, so he gets out of there, and, like, he beats people up, and he's this superhero, basically, because he can see 2 minutes into the future. It's the worst movie I've ever seen. But he made it good. He made it, like, hilarious. Like, I could not look away. So I think that doing a biopic on John Madden is an interesting choice in 2024. He was obviously, you know, big guy in the 80s, and certainly his video game endured over time. But I don't know. I don't know that there's, like, a big appetite for a movie about the life of John Madden. I'll see it. I'm just saying, in general, I'm not sure it's going to be one of those things that picks people up. But if Nick Cage is in it, Nick Cage is going to bring life to John Madden that you didn't even think about. Even if you were a big Raiders fan, even if you love the video game, Nick Cage will bring it to life in a way that only he can. So I think that's good. That's a great casting choice. I think it's going to be an A+.
I say scary. Nick Cage freaks me out. He's a scary guy. He's weird. He's creepy. His voice is scary. He's got, like, a voice that's simultaneously deep but nasal, where he's like, blah, blah, blah. He scares me. And I want to see the movie that he's in right now, which is supposed to be, like, kind of like a Silence of the Lambs type thriller.
Long Legs.
Long Legs. Have you seen it, Ryan?
I have not seen it.
Okay, I really want to see it. I've been trying to get my husband to go to the theater to see it with me, and he won't because he says it looks really bad. But he's supposed to be good
in that. I don't know anything about this.
Like, I think Nicolas Cage can be, it's like one out of every eight movies he makes, he's incredible in, and the other seven are just a dumpster fire.
Yeah, I shouldn't even ask you this. Not the Bees.
Not the Bees was hilarious. That's another. The Wicker Man. Yeah, Wicker Man was so bad, but he made it good. You couldn't look away from him in that bee mask. Come on. Have you seen Raising Arizona?
No. What is that?
Raising Arizona is Nicolas Cage's best movie, in my opinion. It is the brothers. Who are the brothers that did that?
The Coen brothers?
Coen brothers, yes. Thank you.
It's the Coen brothers.
And it is, I think, one of the funniest movies of all time. Helen Hunt is in it.
Oh, I love Helen Hunt.
Am I thinking of Helen Hunt or Holly Hunter?
I think it's Holly Hunter. Not thinking of Helen Hunt, because I feel like I would have seen that.
Yeah, Holly Hunter, I think, is the wife in it, and he plays this, like, criminal, and they steal a baby, basically, is the point of the movie. And it is so funny. So if you haven't seen Raising Arizona, that's, I think, the best, like, Nicolas Cage movie.
I'm really not into biopics.
Yes. This scene where he steals the diapers. This is the best. This song is amazing. By the way, that movie where he's the magician and he dates Jessica Biel is called Next. N-E-X-T, Next. Yeah, I highly recommend it.
The text line just said it's called Next and it sucks.
It came out in 2007. It does suck, but it's also great. It's really, it's very funny. Every line he has is kind of funny.
What are other movies that suck so bad that they're great? Not like The Room, like kind of under the radar, like they're so bad that you love them.
Yeah.
Like Grandma's Boy is like that.
Grandma's Boy. Ever seen
that
movie?
That movie sucks. And it's really funny.
I like that one.
I got one, and I'm thinking about it a lot more because they're remaking it. I love The Crow because of how hokey 90s action it is.
I've never seen it.
I love The Crow.
It's like a cult classic.
It was. If you were our age, too, I mean, that was big time.
It doesn't like really stand up, but I could still go back and watch that for how cheesy some aspects of it are. And they're remaking the movie right now, and I just know I'm not going to enjoy any aspect of that.
There is a movie that came out in the 80s called Throw Mama from the Train, starring Danny DeVito and Billy Crystal, where they team up to kill Danny DeVito's mother-in-law, I think it is, or maybe it's Crystal's mother-in-law, and DeVito's the guy who...
Arcan, we've talked about this movie before.
We've talked about Throw Mama from the Train.
We're also talking about Raising Arizona on this show, too.
Have we really? Okay, well then, all right, fine. We talk about a lot of things. Anyway, that's another movie that's pretty bad,
like
but I enjoyed
movies
it.
Collectively.
What's the movie with Schwarzenegger and DeVito where Schwarzenegger gets pregnant? No, where he gets pregnant.
Oh, I don't remember that
Junior.
One.
Junior. That's one that's so bad it's good.
How did he end up pregnant?
They did this experiment on him where they put a uterus in him and he got pregnant.
Okay.
Yeah. Twins is where they're both made from the same DNA. They put all the good DNA into Schwarzenegger and DeVito's like the leftover crap. And they find out that they're twins later on in their life. And it's very traumatic for DeVito.
We had a lot more movies like this in the 90s, I think.
Yes. Yes, we did. Anyway, that's a triple play.
Look who's talking to.
I enjoyed all of those. Bruce Willis was the voice.
You know
of
what I liked was those...
I think Danny DeVito did a voice of that, too.
Those Beethoven movies.
Oh, with the dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Beethoven 2, where there's a Lady Beethoven.
Oh, yeah.
And a bunch of little Beethovens.
That's what happens.
Those were quality.
Very good. All right. That was Triple Play here. You can hear it every day at 4:45. When we come back, we'll reset on the Patriots, the night that Drake May had, our big cue at 2, and we'll talk a little Red Sox as well. It's coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.